2 Timothy verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 10 says, "And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you receive, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with Scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some had fallen asleep." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word. And all God's people said,
Amen.
You may be seated. You know, when it comes to Resurrection Sunday, or some may refer to it as Easter Sunday, we may think it's a very glorious and very bright occasion. Most of the time, it's a sunny spring day for such a glorious celebration. And people like to bring it. People like to bring their spring colors. I'm a little partial to pink today, by the way. But we bring out the pastel colors. We bring out the floral prints because it's a good day. It's a happy day, as we have sung about. And so you may wonder, why? Why are you preaching about death? Why are you preaching about the death of death through the gospel? Well, if you think about it, if you can't talk about death on Easter Sunday, when can you talk about it? The very essence of the celebration and the praise of God here in this sanctuary on this given day is centered around one person, and that is Christ, who lived, who died, rose from the dead, and came back to tell us about it as recorded in Scripture. Death could not hold him. Christ defeated death. The death of death through the gospel. The gospel story is how God reconciles sinners to himself through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is victory. This is triumph of not only death, but of all evil and Satan himself. And this morning we're going to focus 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. And we'll have some other verses also included. But please note, without the appearance, without the manifestation, without the Savior Christ Jesus, this would not have been possible. Death of death through the gospel. Did you notice that description? The Savior Christ Jesus. Now, most of the time when we read God's Word, we read Scripture, okay, we're familiar with Jesus. There's times he's referred to as Christ Jesus. But this passage is not one. It's not two. We're talking three in a row. The Savior Christ Jesus. He's the one who saved. He is the Messiah. He fulfilled all the prophecy. He is the holy and anointed one sent from God above. There is no mistake here. And so as we read this passage, we read it and we say, through his appearance of the Savior Christ Jesus, who abolishes death. And so, if you look at Scripture, it declares, it states, as a matter of fact, that Jesus destroyed death. But the moment you read this, the moment you contemplate this, the moment it circulates in your cranium, here's a couple of things, or at least here's one thing, that you pause and you hesitate because you think about it, you still hear about death, don't you? If death has been destroyed, somebody forgot to tell the undertakers. If death has been destroyed, there's still business when it comes to the dead. There are still morticians, embalmers, funeral directors, coroners, florists. The list goes on. It's still happening. You know, the other day I was reading the newspaper. It's been the first time in a long time that I actually touched that newspaper print. And somebody had gave me the local paper here. And so, you know, usually I go to the sports, then I'll glance at the headlines, and then I'll go to the local section. And as I go to the local section, you know, you take a look at what's happening around the neighborhoods, what's happening around the city, and then you flip it. And then you see it, the obituary section. Now, back when I was young, I just kind of glanced over it and just went straight to the comic section. But this time I looked to see if there's anybody I knew. But as you look in that obituary section every day, there's always somebody listed. There's always a name. There's always a face. The reality of death. So if death is destroyed, then how can it be with death is a stark reality every day? Why is there still death? Why do we still die? This is your pre-question before we get into text. And I would submit to you to take a look at Romans chapter 5. Because in Romans chapter 5, it explains very well. It gives the summation of it. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin. Did you catch that? Death spread to all men because all sin. And so, here's the reality of it. We die because of sin. Scripture tells us that death came into the world because of one man's sin. The order is this: Adam, then there was sin, and subsequently there was death. Sin has always leads to death. As long as sin exists in the world, death will never be that far away. For most of us, we could all locate our birth certificate. When we're born, we receive a birth certificate. And when we die, the coroner will fill out a death certificate, not for you, but about you. And there will be a place where they would list the cause of death. And there's various reasons: heart failure, sickness, accidents, among others. But when it comes to Scripture, the answer is always the same. It is sin, not heart failure. Not sickness, not accident, but it is sin. What the coroner's list is always symptomatic. So why is there still death? Why it still exists? Because of sin. Very simple. You know, let me give you a couple of things what the Bible calls death. The Bible calls death a curse. We know in Genesis chapter 2 that the Lord commanded man, you are free to eat. You are free to eat from the tree of life in the garden. But you must not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. And so in chapter 3, we find out that he ate. And so the curse is given. And it wasn't about just picking weeds and mowing lawns and the sweat of a brow, but it also had to do with death. The Bible calls death a curse. You know what else the Bible calls death? It calls it a wage. That is, that this is what you get. The wages of sin is what? Death. And so the Bible calls death a wage. This is what you get. The Bible calls death an enemy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, it said, it is the last enemy to be destroyed. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And so when we look at this passage, it tells us that the Savior, Christ Jesus, abolishes death. Other translations may say destroyed death. The NET translation says that he has broken the power of death. He annulled death and made it of no effect. So there's the Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and life and immortality to light through the gospel. In other words, he brings us to light. Christ came to reverse the curse. The word abolish or destroy means to reduce to inactivity. In other words, to render powerless, inoperative, ineffective. Abolish doesn't mean the total annihilation of death, but it means that death is nullified. In other words, it has no effect, and it's because of the death and resurrection of Christ, the gospel. Because of Christ's sacrifice, physical death loses its power or its effectiveness for those who have believed, those who have responded. For believers, death is simply a doorway leading to our entrance into the presence of our Lord. And so we could say a couple of things when it comes to death and how Christ has destroyed death. And let me just tell you from Scripture, we could say that the sting of death is detached. It's removed. The sting of death has been removed. 1 Corinthians tells us that the sting of death, where is that sting? Let me ask you this. How do you take the sting out of the bee? Well, by taking the sting yourself. Ouch. But if you think about it, that's how we take the sting of death out. The bee can't hurt you anymore. In the same way, Christ took the sting out. The sting out of death. He took the venom of death. Death stung Christ and killed Christ. But we all know death could not keep him dead. Jesus took all the venom of death, so there is none left for his people to fear. And so, death is no longer a curse, but death is a blessing. The sting of death is detached. You want to know another thing? When it comes to death, the fear of death, it is discharged. The fear of death, it is discharged. It's kind of removed too. We have nothing to fear. Let me read you the Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. So two things here, people. Two things. The fear of death is discharged. We have nothing to fear. And secondly, the holder of death is defeated. The holder of death is defeated. When Jesus conquered the grave, when he died and rose from the dead, he defeated the one who had the power of death, and that is Satan. Jesus died and rose from the grave. Death is destroyed. And Satan, the one who held the power of death, is destroyed. Death and sin no longer have mastery because Christ died and rose. And you know what? Death cannot separate. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. We're familiar with Romans, aren't we? Romans says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life will ever able to separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Not even death can separate us from the love of God." And that is why the gospel, when it is properly understood, when it's properly illuminated in your life, then its embrace floods the believer with such delight and with such joy that there is boldness when it comes to facing death. Can I ask you a question today? Are you scared of death? Are you scared to death? If you're not a believer, you should be. But if you are a believer, you should not be. Because the death of death in Christ means victory to those who believe. Jesus has destroyed death and brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians? He says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" When he's mentioning that, he's practically singing it. Come on. Death has nothing on the church. Death has nothing on those who believe. It's because God has put a new song into our hearts. And we sing a new song. And we echo, "Where, O death, is your victory?" We echo, "Where, O death, is your sting?" If you want to sing that song, come to the Savior. Sing a new song. We need more choir members. We need more musicians. And you could come and sing. Come and sing of the Savior. Join the heavenly choir. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Sing about the Savior who defeated both sin and death. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. My God is mighty to save. He's mighty to save you. Brothers and sisters, we don't sing because we got this feeling. We don't sing because we got this feeling in our bones. Rather, we sing because we got this faith. We got this faith in Christ alone. We have a new song. It's a praise song. It's a hymnal song. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when the Word is filled in our lives, we sing that song to one another. And we will sing that song forever. Have you sung that song? Have you given praise to the Savior? Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. Have you sung that song? Will you sing to the Savior? Will you sing that love song to Jesus? Will you sing about Christ and Christ alone? Today, if there's any day, this is a good day to start singing. If Christ is convicting you, if his gospel truth is becoming a reality that he died on the cross for your sins, then don't hold back. Change your tune and sing that new song. You know what it means to change your tune? Scripture calls it repent. Remember the first words of Jesus in his public ministry was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at a hand." And there's a couple things when I think about repent. I don't know if you ever thought about it. What does it mean to repent? And yeah, sometimes we know, yeah, it's turn that opposite way. But here's a couple things. First of all, when you repent, you see things differently. You see sin as God sees it. You know that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You realize you just didn't sin to yourself. You didn't sin against others, but you have sinned against the one and true living God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see sin in a different way. Not only do you see sin in a different way, but you respond to sin in a different way. You cry over sin. Remember in Luke chapter 18, and you have the religious leader and you have the tax collector going into the temple. It's that parable. Religious leaders think he could just lift up a prayer and that's it. And guess what? The tax collector, he couldn't even look to the heavens. He couldn't even look up. His hands was buried in his face and he was saying, "Lord, have mercy on me." That's what it means to cry over your sin. That's what it means to have regret over your sin. You see sin differently. You respond to sin differently. And you know what else when it comes to repent? Not only do you see sin differently, you respond to sin differently, but you confess your sin to the only one, the Lord God Almighty. Confess your sins. He is faithful and just, and he will purify us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And not only do you confess your sins, but now you know. Now you know that what you've done, what you have thought offends God. Now you know that you are sorrowful and that you're asking for God's mercy and that you're responding. And not only that, you are confessing. You're simply agreeing with God. And now comes the big turn. You are turning. You are turning because God has turned your life around. You are turning because the Holy Spirit is regenerating in your life. And you will turn and sin no more. In other words, you don't want to sin. And there's something that happens when you repent. You know what else happens? Not only do you turn to sin, but you will hate sin. You will hate sin, and it will bother you if you do sin. You don't want to practice it anymore. You want it rid in your life. And so, you want to know how to change your tune? You want to know how to repent? See sin differently as God sees it. See it differently. Respond to sin. Be sorrowful for sin before God. Confess your sins to God. Turn to God. And repent, as Scripture tells us. Today, if you want to change your tune, this is a good opportunity to change your tune. Sing the song. Confess your sins and come before the Lord God Almighty. He is mighty to save. He is mighty to save you. Our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So what does it mean to brought life or bring life and immortality to light? This is where the verse gets very clever. Bring to light means to make it obvious, like clear as noonday. In other words, it's clear as day, as the noon sun. This is the brightest point. The brightest point of the day is noon, and it is as clear as can be. And this is what Christ has done. Two things mentioned in the scripture very clearly. He took down death, and he brought life. Took down death, and he brought life. Here's your bibliology. This is how Christ brings to light. This is how we understand the story of glory that begins in Genesis and goes through Revelation. The Old Testament, when it taught about the concepts and the doctrines of death, of resurrection and eternal life, it was kind of, in some sense, presented in shadows. We caught a glimpse of it. It was prophesied about. It was taught about. And we caught a glimpse of it, but the picture was still dark. Even the prophets were fascinated, but they couldn't just quite figure it out. But when Christ came, and Christ lived, and Christ died and rose from again from the dead, he brought it into perspective. He illuminated that truth about eternal life, about resurrection, and about the blessed hope that is in heaven. Jesus is the light. He is the resurrection. He is the bread of life. And he makes it very clear that he is destroying death and that he is bringing life to you and me. Here's my third point, that Christ delivers. Christ delivers life. There is victory through the gospel. I'm telling you what Scripture is telling us, the death of death through the gospel. The death of death through the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Now here's my point. Old Testament, New Testament, right here. Death came through the tree of life by Adam. However, eternal life came through the tree of death, and that is by Christ. Death came through the tree of life in Eden by Adam. Eternal life came through the tree of death at Calvary by Christ. Brothers and sisters, eternal life is not earned. Eternal life is given. That same passage when it talks about death, meaning the wages of sin is death, that same scripture passage says, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death and life. He puts down death and he brings life, the eternal life. If you haven't figured it out, the redemptive work of Christ is twofold. There's a destructive aspect and there is a constructive aspect. Christ destroys death, and he brings about life. Didn't Jesus say, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly? When you look at it, it's not that he's adding something to your life, but he's bringing something entirely different. It speaks of two things, the two Q's, the qualitative sense and the quantitative sense. The qualitative sense that the life that he gives us is a life in Christ Jesus, the life that comes from knowing God forever. That's the quality. And the quantity is, it is forever. Remember back in Genesis, back in the beginning in Garden of Eden? Again, death came through life. Death came through the tree of life in the garden by Adam. And eternal life came through the tree of death, and that is the cross on Calvary by the second Adam, that is Christ. Here's the thing. Adam's disobedience brought death to all. But Christ, his obedience, it brought life to all. Here's a couple things that we can know how God has delivered, how Christ has delivered. Remember the curse? The curse is removed through Christ. The curse is removed through Christ. It is removed through Jesus' death. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from what? The curse of the law, by becoming a curse for us. And it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. The curse is removed because of Jesus Christ. The second thing we could notice, that the believers, we will never, never taste death through because of Christ. We will never taste death because of Christ. Two passages, both in the Gospel of John, begins the same way. I tell you the truth. As a matter of fact, this is God's truth. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, but has crossed from what? From death to life. Jesus says it again, like the disciples were not paying attention. He says it again in chapter 8. He says, I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Believers, we will never taste death. That is the good news. That is the gospel. That is the glorious Christ. Scripture I read to you this morning, 1 Corinthians, that is why Paul says this, what I received, I passed on you as first importance. In other words, this is priority. That Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried, he was raised on the third day according to Scriptures. He appeared to Peter, then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of brothers and sisters at the same time. Brothers and sisters, on this Resurrection Sunday, on this bright and glorious day, where we're singing a new song, where we're wearing pastel colors and floral prints, we can talk about death. We could talk about death because the death of death is through the gospel of Christ. Death has been defeated. The sting of death has been removed. The power of hell is no more. The death of death means victory for those who believe in Christ Jesus. Eternal life comes to all who believe in Christ, that he died and rose again to save sinners. This is the most basic of the promise of the gospel. And so I plead with you one more time. If you haven't already, will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you believe in the risen Christ today? Will you sing that new song, Hallelujah, what a Savior? Over 1,000 years ago, Job asked the question, if a man dies, will he live again? If you think about it, that was a very profound question that's still relevant to this day. It is the one great question that Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, was meant to answer. Because Jesus said it in the Gospel of John, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Brothers and sisters, the death of Jesus means you have victory over death. Stand firm in that truth. Stand firm in this victory. Let nothing move you. Let nothing scare you or even spook you. And so when you think of yourself, or you think of even loved ones, and death comes to your mind, sing with the Apostle Paul. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You can rejoice because that last enemy called death has been defeated. Through faith in the resurrection, the resurrected Lord, you will live forever in his love and in his glory. Death is dead. Christ is risen. Believe on Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, as we come before you with confidence. Confidence not because of ourselves, but confidence because of your mercy and your grace. We could call upon you, it's because of Christ. We could pray to you with confidence, it's because of his death and his resurrection. We could sing that new song, it's because he rose from the dead. Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Father, that song is not going away. That song is not going to fall out of the top 10. That song is going on forever. We're going to sing it today. We're going to sing it tomorrow. And we're going to sing it throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And Father God, each time we sing it, that heavenly chorus is getting bigger and bigger. The choir is increasing. And we look forward to that given day when all nations, all tribes, all languages are represented and we'll sing in one huge chorus. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Father, I pray for those who have yet to change their tune, that perhaps today is a day that they would sing of Christ Jesus, that they would rejoice because Christ is the Savior. There they would sing that hallelujah chorus and they would come before you, Father, because they know that they see sin the way you do it. And they have responded. They are sorrowful. There is grief. And they're asking for your mercy. And as they confess their sins, Father, they trust in you. They trust in you because you are true, that you are faithful. And as you're drawing men and convicting men and women, you will cleanse them. You would give them that new heart. You would regenerate within their lives, Father, and empower them to sing, not simply from their head, but sing from their heart and soul that Christ is Lord. Father, may it be today that the chorus increases. May it be today that we add to the number to the choir. May it be today all heaven rejoices because one sinner repents. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.